Yashir Koach, you'll be finishing Maseches Brachos, all the Mishnayos tonight, so it's an accomplishment for everybody. Last night we were discussing sort of the outer limits of love of God. Even if one has to lay down one's life for God, that is the full measure of love of God. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says it's only natural, but every time we always talk about love of God, we always talk about its companion mitzvah, which is reverence for God, Yiras Hashem. The Rambam always integrates them together in his presentation. Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah integrates them into the same halacha in the Sefer HaMitzvos. They're back-to-back mitzvahs number 3 and 4, respectively. So the Mishnah says, speaking of that, Lo yakel adam esrosho keneged shar hamizrach, shehu mechuvan keneged beis kachah akadashim, that a person, even if he's not actually in the Beis HaMikdash, but he was just aligned facing the Eastern Gate. And the Eastern Gate, you know, let's say a person were on Har HaZeitim, so that was aligned, Keneged Beis Kadshei HaKadashim, so let's say you're the east of the holiest place, the Sanctum Sanctorum, so a person cannot behave with Kalos Rosh. And certainly, Lo Yikanes Lahar Habayis B'maklo, not to go into Har Habayis with one staff of Min Olo, Afundaso, which either means his pouch, or sort of like an undergarment going in a t-shirt, uva avak sha'al raglav, and with dust on his feet, v'lo yasenu kapendria, and you can't, use the Beis HaMikdash as a shortcut. And by the way, many of these halachos apply to a shul as well, which is considered a mikdash ma'at, the principle of a mikdash yitira'u, a sense of reverence for a sacred space, urakika mikal v'chomer, and certainly you shouldn't be spinning. And that's a kal v'chomer, because spinning is a derech bizayon. That's considered to be something which is highly degrading. People may or may not be aware of this, but this is well before my time, and something that I have to say that I actually don't even think my father witnessed. I have to clarify that with him, but in many of the shtiebels of days of yore, they used to have spittoons. Martin, you've experienced it, yeah. Okay, we'll take that as a yes. The issue was, in Aleinu, we denigrate those who worship false gods involved in idolatry. Shehem ishtachavim lo hevel varik. Umispalalim el el lo yoshia. And people would actually pass around this spittoon. Not particularly dignified. Thankfully, that practice is not currently in vogue. So that's part of this Mishnah here, is that, you know, spitting in the context of a shul is really just beyond the pale. But again, if I can take a moment before I go on, and this applies, of course, to all kinds of things. It has to be dignified. And one of the great struggles today, certainly for me on an ongoing basis, is, shul has to be a warm place and a welcoming place. Tosus and Chagiga Daf Gimel says, based on Hakel, where it says, Anashim Nashim Vitaf, that even the youngest children were there. So Tosus says, Mikan Samchu, this is the basis of bringing children to shul. But there's a balance, children should be brought into shul, but not if they're making a ruckus and making noise and disturbing people from davening. It's not fair to everybody else, and it's also not good for the children. You have to educate children to look up to shul, to revere shul. And that's a very difficult balance. And people today, offend very easily if you try to tell them. And there are some people, and you'll think I'm making this up, but their child could literally be practically crying in the middle of shul, and they'll see absolutely nothing wrong with it. And how dare anybody say anything? A very difficult thing. But again, Mikdash Yitirao doesn't only apply to the Beis HaMikdash in days of old. It applies right here, and we all have to do our best. We're not living in a particularly reverent time, so reverence and sacred spaces really do matter. We all have to try to do our best to do a little bit of countercultural work in terms of this. And you remember that great statement of Chazal, and it's quoted by the Rambam, about Mikdash Yitiro, when the statement is, lo mina mikdash atayir, right? It's not like you're afraid of the mikdash, but b'misha shikein eshmo sham, but from the fact that this is God's house, God is present there, you're in God's presence. That has to mean something, and even though we can't see him, and he's not talking directly to us in the way that, you know, a person talks to us, it still really matters. Kol chos mei brachos shehayu b'mikdash hayu omrim min ha'olam. Mishakilkulu ha'minim, you know, once the minim came along and denied the existence of olam haba, amru ein olam el'achad, hiskinu shi omrim min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. So again, the Bar Tanur explains, so let's say you were saying chonin hadas, it wouldn't just be baruch atah Hashem chonin hadas, it would be baruch atah Hashem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam chonin hadas v'hiskinu. And they also made a takana, she'a adam shoel shalom chaveiro b'shem, that when one would greet one's friend, one would do so with God's name, typically shalom aleichem, which is a common greeting. Shalom is one of the names of God. And this is based on a practice that you find in Megillas Rus. She'ne'emar v'nei boaz ba'mi beis lechem, ayomer lakotzrim. How did he greet them? Hashem imachem. And how did they answer him? Yivarechecha Hashem. May God bless you in turn. But the Omer, another example, is from Sefer Shoftim. When Gidon was threshing, the Malach said to him, Hashem imcha gibor hachayil. The Omer, and now the Mishnah says, and you know, again, it's important to look to these historical examples, al tavuz ki zikna imecha, that one should not denigrate the traditions of one's heritage. The Omer, doesn't see, it seems like a non sequitur, explained in a moment. That sometimes one has to act in the broader interests of God, even if that means a local violation of the Torah. So, generally speaking, this is a principle that we like to refer to as a hora shah. So, for example, in Sefer Melachim, in the 18th chapter, we're told that basically the entirety of the Jewish people had become idolatrous. And the only way to convince them was God was real and that the idolatry was false. Anybody remember what happened? It was kind of like, you know, we would call it today almost like a reality show. Anybody remember what happened? Elijah gathered the Jewish people at Har HaKarmel, okay, which is not near the Beis HaMikdash, not anywhere near. And they basically had a contest. And he gave basically all morning and most of the afternoon to the prophets of Baal to try to somehow reach their God, and they, you know, are engaged in all kinds of, you know, somersaults and backflips, and Eliyahu was kind of jeering at them. He says, you know, he's asleep, right? He's taking a nap. Why don't you call a little bit louder, you know? And finally, you know, in the mincha la'es arev, so Eliyahu offers a korban. Immediately a fire descends from the heavens. Everybody says, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. They kill off all the Nevi'i Habal, and by the next chapter, they went back to doing Avodah Zar. But in any event, this was an example of a Hora Shah, because there is an Isser D'Oraisa, it's against Torah law. This isn't like a minor thing, this isn't like a misdemeanor. This is a felony, Shebe felonies, that a person would offer a karban outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? Eliyahu was, of course, living during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, during the times of Vayis Rishon. The Beis HaMikdash was, even the Beis HaMikdash wasn't standing. Once the Beis HaMikdash was, once we came to Yerushalayim, you're never allowed to offer a korban anywhere else, right? That's the principle of Shchut Echutz. Yet this was permitted for a Rasha. So that's an example of Eis La'asos La'Hashem before Yisrael Sechan. I'll give you another quick example. The Gemara Masech the Gittin and Daf Samach says that really we should not have Mishnah. You just finished Masech the Brachos. We shouldn't have the Torah Shebal Peh written down. Dvarim Shebal Peh Yeter Rasha the Kasvan. For a very good reason, is that when you write things down, they could have become ossified. This is meant to be an oral tradition that was passed down, you know, from one generation to the next generation to the next generation, next generation. Because when you write things down, then what happens is all the academics start arguing, oh, what did it really mean, high crimes and misdemeanors? Did it have to be a crime? Did it have to be part of the criminal statute? You know, it gets ossified. It's very difficult to figure it out. So when you have law, Jewish law was meant to be passed down as an oral tradition. The problem was, everything was going to be forgotten. So the Gemara Masech the Gittin explains that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi looked around and he said, we have two choices. Either the entire Torah is going to be forgotten, so we're not going to have any Torah left, or we're going to have to violate one law and start to write things down. And that's how the Mishnah got written down, that the Toseftas were written down, the Braisos got recorded, we have the Talmud Bavli, the Talmud Yerushalmi, we have the Medrash Halacha, the Mechilta, the Sifra, the Sifrei. That's how everything became written down. It was never supposed to be written down. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Eis La'asos La'Hashem, Eferu Sorasecha. So how did it come up in the Mishnah? Like you could read this Mishnah 1,000 times and say, why did they start talking about this? So again, some of the Mefarshim explain on the Mishnah that what the issue was is it seems a little bit disrespectful that you're going to use God's name to greet a human being So the answer is, Eis lasos l'Hashem, heferos arasecha. Yeah, God's name is sanctified, ata kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh. But in the end, if you greet somebody in God's name, that's a way of showing the person dignity and respect and elevating that person. And ultimately, that's what Hashem really wants. So Eis lasos l'Hashem, heferos arasecha, that this is really, in so to speak, God's broader interest. God says, okay, so, you know, I'll be mochan my kavod, so to speak, to promote peaceful relations between people. Okay, so we'll hold it up here. That's the end of Masechta Brachos, another wonderful accomplishment for the minyan. So thank you, everybody. It's always wonderful to learn together. We're just over a month before Purim, so we'll do our best. Martin, we'll do our best. We're going to finish Masechta Megillah by Purim. All of the Mishnayos, the four chapters. Okay, Martin will hold us to it. We've been through this in the past, and God willing, we'll be able to take it from there.